Our scripture reading today comes from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Here ends our reading for today.
Maybe you don't always want to know what I'm going to do. If you've ever played a musical instrument, then you know the amount of time that's required to practice, let alone to practice enough to play music in front of other people, let alone sing and play and conduct others. Wendy does this very well. And we have appreciated her practice of her art for us. What we may not have always noticed is the patience that's been required of her. The patience to practice her music so we can all enjoy it. And as a good music director, she has taught the fruits of our faith not only through her music, but by her example. Patience is often spoken of as a virtue, and it is virtuous. But the reason we speak of patience in the church is that the Apostle Paul spoke about patience as one of the fruits of the Spirit. For Paul, patience was so crucial to the practice of Christianity that a person's ability to be patient displayed their connection to the Holy Spirit. So as we continue our exploration of the fruits of the Spirit, today we come to explore the fruit of patience. However, today we hear not Paul, but James teaching about patience. James was one of the leaders of the early Christian church in Jerusalem. Tradition tells us he is the brother of Jesus. And the letter from James is a letter that is concerned with daily life. The words we heard this morning contain a simple truth of human life. Wait until the crops grow. It seems like it would be hard to get more basic about human survival than that. Yet James was a major teacher in the early church. So what might his teaching mean today? Well, the agrarian society of the early church to whom James was writing, knew better than we that we cannot alter the growing season of crops. We simply have to wait. And that's true of God's time, too. We can do nothing to change God's timing. It's one of the most frustrating parts of being human. But when it comes to God's timing, we have zero control. Nada. And we're left with this question of how to teach patience to human beings. It's a question I admit I struggle to find an answer to. When I was flying home last week, I watched a movie on the plane called The Biggest Little Farm. It's about an urban couple who wanted to create an organic farm, and they had no idea how to do it. So they had to learn all kinds of things about caring for animals and plants. And one of the things they had to learn was to wait. And then they had to learn that they weren't really in control. They started with this dry California land that was like clay. And so they started by adding worm compost to the soil. And then they had to wait for all those microorganisms to literally bring the soil back to life before they could even start to plant. And then when the orchard grew, the birds came. And you need to watch the movie to find out what they did. I won't ruin it for you. But they had to bring in natural predators and wait for a whole ecosystem to develop that would sustain a fruitful and profitable farm. It took them years to get the farm working as it should. And that's the type of patience that James is talking about. It's not passively waiting for something to happen, but it's responding to what's there and actively tilling the soil and making the conditions right for God's timing to be now. James was teaching three things about patience. And first of all, it's important for us to note that the early church expected Jesus to return to earth within the generation, maybe two. And so when he says, wait on the Lord, that's literally what he's talking about. Jesus is coming back. The second coming was something the early church anxiously awaited. We too wait for big things, don't we? The elections of leaders, the arrival of new pastors, the arrival of new church music directors. You can begin to imagine how anxious that church may have been. But the first thing James tells them is wait. Be patient. He reminds them that Christ will come according to God's time, not ours. And there is just nothing we can do to change that fact. God's time is important for us to ponder. It's really not something that we as human beings can understand. But we want to. We want to because we're often so anxious for that thing we're waiting for, hoping for, praying for to happen, that we're sure this is going to be it. And then it's not. We really can't understand God's time. And yet, God's time is a very real thing. And there are few human experiences that help us understand God's time any better. We understand God's time when we sit vigil at a bedside as a loved one is dying. We understand God's time when we're waiting for a baby to be born. We seem to know instinctually that when God's time comes, it's a major shift. It fundamentally alters everything we knew about life before and life as we will know it until God's time intersects with our own again. James is telling the church not just to be patient, but that their waiting is out of their hands. In some sense, the fruit of patience grows in us the more we become comfortable with not being in control. As we allow God to control things, rather than seek to exert our own influence, we learn that we can be patient because we have hope that God is at work. That's just the first thing James says about patience. The second, I regret to inform you, is more difficult. You see, James was a wise teacher, and we may even imagine that he learned some wisdom from his big brother Jesus along the way. James reminds the Jerusalem church and us to mind ourselves while we wait. James seems to have known that human nature is to bicker and mistrust one another when we're anxious and when we're waiting. James reminds the church, however, that just because the one who was their leader is no longer physically present does not mean that God is absent. He reminds the church that God is very present among them. Therefore, we must treat one another just as we would if Jesus himself were in the room. Because guess what? He is. James was a tough teacher. He wanted the church to know that patience first required allowing God to be in control, and secondly, that having enough self-control to be nice to others when you're under stress and duress was essential for patience. But lastly, James taught that showing true patience required a willingness to suffer and to know that you may not see the end of the waiting. At the end of our reading today, James gives us the examples of the prophets. And this alone should be enough to tell us that patience is pretty serious business. When we read the prophets, we soon learn that these messengers of God don't always live to see their messages understood. Some of them are tortured. Some of them are chased out of town and even hunted in the wilderness by the powers that be. It's frustrating, and yet it teaches us that patience calls us to continue the work, to endure, and to wait for God's time. Patience, James is telling us, requires us to seek change and keep seeking and to not give up seeking, even when it seems the change we look for is not forthcoming. James would be the first to tell us that a lack of patience will frustrate and cause downheartedness in many social justice warriors. Patience is necessary whenever we seek justice, because the creation of justice requires the work of God and the Holy Spirit, which only happens on God's time and not our own. It's difficult. But then James does something I think is a little unnecessary. He ups the ante. He invokes Job. And if you've read the book of Job, then you know you're in trouble anytime someone tells you to emulate him. But in the end, Job never gives up his faith. He remains faithful to the idea that God is faithful to him and that God loves him through all his trials. And that is why Job is held up as an example of patience. It is Job's faith in God and not his circumstances that we are to hope for. Patience, I have decided, is a bit of a fruit salad. Patience is dependent upon the fruits of love and kindness and gentleness and hope and self-control. Or perhaps we should say that growing patience requires us to create an entire organic ecosystem that will support it. We need the nutrients and we need the pests. And we need all the other crops. In fact, as we've spent the summer exploring the fruits of the Spirit, it's beginning to occur to me that we need some of one of these fruits in order to grow another, and so on and so forth. And I find myself hoping that as we grow in one fruit, we'll also grow in our capacity to grow another of the fruits of the Spirit. And then we can continuously start to grow them little by little, growing more and more as we grow. And eventually, we will create a spiritual farm for the growth of the Spirit. It's going to take time. Time measured in God's time and not our own. So have patience, friends. Wait. 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 And allow the Holy Spirit to grow its fruit in you.